You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The warning signs are there. If someone gets hurt, if someone gets killed, the blood is on all of their hands. The people who are saying nothing, the people who are going along with this, this isn't a game. This isn't a charade. This is a deliberate effort to make a big chunk of this country live inside of a conspiracy theory that could radicalize them to commit acts of violence.
December the 10th, 2020, the speaker was Ben Rhodes, former member of the Obama White House, position with national security and other items. And he's out there saying that as Trump continues to battle legal battles contesting the election and how it's been handled, raising questions, that it's going to incite people to violence. Have you seen any Republican going down the streets, looting, torching, turning things over, spitting in the face of police? Anyone, anyone, anywhere? Could some later, if the decision comes down and verifies that Biden is the duly and, quote, properly elected president, could some go off the handle a little bit? It certainly could happen. Not going to deny that. But what gets me is how the left can so quickly label, especially Trump supporters, that they are the violent ones. They're the ones who will go crazy in the streets. Who, when the stores were boarding up their windows along the Magnificent Mile in Chicago and Rodeo Drive in California and Fifth Avenue in New York, why were they boarding up their windows? Because everything was indicating by the mass swell of the public at the crowds of the Trump rallies that Trump was going to win. And they expected the retaliation to be in the streets, burning, looting, doing exactly what they have been doing under any pretense, for any reason, any excuse. I guess they've taken down their boarding at this point. But if you listen to Ben Rhodes, formerly with the Obama White House, there's still blood to be let in the streets, and it's going to be on Trump's hands. Well, where do we stand on this? Of course, we have President Trump as part of the action that's been filed by the state of Texas, asking the U.S. Supreme Court to throw out the voting results in four states, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, saying that those states violated the U.S. Constitution, that they made changes to their election process without doing it by legislative action, which the U.S. Constitution says that is how each state should deal with elections. And we now have 17 states backing Texas. That includes Missouri. Then you got Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia. All but three of them have Republican governors. We're still waiting. These states, these four states, are supposed to be delivering in about 1 hour an answer to the U.S. Supreme Court as to what they're going to do in response to the challenge. And supposedly the court will then take it into consideration and meet tomorrow morning in private and discuss, are we going to take up this case? If the court decides not to take the case, it's done, it's over. If the court decides there's enough here to raise question, and we're talking about constitutional issues. Now, we're not even questioning how many ballots were counted, did the signatures match. We're talking about the constitutional issue of states rewriting right before the election. Well, then we will have oral arguments come Monday. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours for you. We're going to hear more from Rhodes in this allegation and everyone pointing a finger at Trump if there's any trouble. and they're continuing to ignore Congressman Eric Swalwell of California and possibly being tied to a Chinese spy agent, a beautiful female, and Nancy Pelosi, who put Swalwell on the Intel committee, said, "Oh, I heard about it after he got on the committee. Yes, I put in there, and I'm not concerned." Well, the rest of us are. We think he should be off the committee. Shouldn't even be in Congress. And the news media, quote, news media, finally getting around to Hunter Biden after the election. No surprise there. And a big focus today on China and how China is infiltrating our nation. And restaurant owners and workers, you do not want to miss what's coming up. A lot to cover in the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
How much is China doing? How much is China spying in the U.S.?
Brett, there's no country that presents a broader, more comprehensive threat to America's innovation, to our economic security, and to our democratic ideas than China does. Well, the FBI is opening a new counterintelligence investigation that ties back to China every 10 hours. And that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg.
Now, that was Brett Baer from Fox News talking to FBI Director Christopher Wray, asking him, how much of a threat does China pose? Well, you heard the director's answer. Listen, we're going to spend a lot of time over the next 2 hours on China, dealing with this nation and how they've been infiltrating, still trying to. And in the next hour, I'm going to spend a considerable amount of time on a statement, I should say a speech, that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo delivered at Georgia Tech University, talking about how China has been actively getting involved in our institutions of higher learning and sending something like 400,000 students from China to our nation every year. And then they go back and share their information. Now, again, Secretary of State Pompeo said, our argument is not against the Chinese people. And our concern is not with the Chinese people. It's the leadership, the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP. And that is the issue for all of us. Anyway, you're going to hear an extended part of his speech as we go through it, break it down for you, on how China is infiltrating and also using the favorite thing the left relies upon now, often, weaponizing it for their uses, political correctness. And, of course, we have this story that's been going on now for 3 days, and still nothing from Congressman Eric Swalwell, Democrat of California, providing any details about his relationship with a Chinese national, with someone he was associated with, and the woman, either known as Christine Fain or Fain Fain, beautiful young woman, had some kind of relationship with Swalwell. The FBI began to realize what was going on, and they did inform Swalwell. And that's about the only thing we've gotten from Swalwell and from his office. A statement. Congressman Swalwell long ago provided information about this person, whom he met for more than 8 years ago and hasn't seen in nearly 6 years, providing information to the FBI. And he said, I will not participate in any other story out of concerns about possible classified information. Now he's concerned that something might be leaked that is classified. Let me reassert for you. Eric Swalwell is on the House Intel Committee. He got put there by Nancy Pelosi. Now, as I mentioned in the opening monologue, Nancy Pelosi is making a statement in her weekly news conference today. She said, I don't have any concern about Mr. Swalwell. She said, in terms of Mr. Swalwell, in the spring of 2015, the leadership of the House and the Intelligence Committee were informed that overtures from a Chinese person were being made to members of Congress. When that was made known to the members of Congress, it was over. And she's saying, you've got Congressman, the GOP leader, Kevin McCarthy, she said, is trying to make a big issue out of this. It is a big issue. So then Pelosi's going the next step. Oh, so you fear that he could be, Swalwell did or had been or would be likely to, under extortion or something, release intel information to the Chinese? She said, I don't know what it means that we have background checks for every intern that comes into the Capitol. Yeah, I thought they did, to be quite honest. But again, her position is, we have full confidence in his service in the Congress and on the Intel Committee. Now, when the story originally was breaking about Swalwell and any connections to this Chinese spy, his response originally was to suddenly start talking about Trump, and Trump's responsible for foreign agents into the country, Russia in particular. I mean, he said, look away from China and me, and look at Trump and Russia. And, of course, that's when they were all pushing the Russian collusion story. Once again, here's a collection of some of those remarks by Swalwell.
I saw collusion, you know, from the very beginning when, you know, they were so eager to work with the Russians.
You believe that President Trump still is an agent of Russia? What do you mean by that?
He acts on their behalf. Our country has seen just a influx of Russians into our political bloodstream, and that's something that did not exist until Donald Trump came on the scene.
Now, I want to point something out to you, and you know this, but let's just emphasize it. Mainstream media, as you were hearing then, I believe CNN, I think Jake Tapper, now I'm not sure who it was, asking Swalwell about Russian connection with Trump and so forth. They have not been pursuing the story about Swalwell, nor Hunter Biden and China. They're just now beginning to open the door a little bit, and we're going to talk about the Hunter Biden thing in the next segment, but they basically are doing what we expected. They're doing the job of the Democrats, the left, the mainstream media. You talk about a conspiracy, you've got it right there. And another thing, Eric Swalwell is saying, I believe that Trump actually leaked the story to Axios that I had been involved in some way and had some kind of relationship. He's not saying or admitting a sexual relationship, just some relationship, friendship. You want to call it friendship? Oh, you friends with benefits? Could be that, too. I don't know. But he's saying that all came out because Trump was basically leaking it. Well, one of the principal reporters for Axios who broke the story originally and has been following it, his answer is right back in the face of the allegation from Congressman Eric Swalwell that it was leaked by Trump just to be a political weapon used against him. Listen, please.
Anyone who has any passing understanding of how Trump world works, do we really think that they put out some opposition research and then patiently wait a year beyond an election for the very well-respected China correspondent to report it out in a nuanced fashion? I mean,
give me a break. It's completely absurd that the tape stopped, but that's what he said. Give me a break. It's completely absurd. He said she'd been working on this for more than a year, the story that's out now. In other words, if the Trump people had it all this time, don't you think they would have used it prior to the Biden election or somewhere else? Why after the election? That's a big question. Why would you do it even after the election? But Swalwell has his defenders, obviously, with Nancy Pelosi and others, saying, we see nothing wrong here. We see nothing wrong. Everything's okay. Let's go back to the Representative Axios. In reporting again what their story was, how they began to build the story, and Jonathan Swan again talking about the story actually laid out details of what was going on with this particular spy and probably a template for others. Listen, please.
The story is really important. It shows how the Chinese Communist Party operates inside this country. It shows how they infiltrate local politics, how they identify young, in some cases, soft targets, people who don't have a lot of staff around them, who don't have experience, who don't actually understand the tactics of the Chinese Communist Party. And then they follow them up. And they followed them in some cases. In Eric Swalwell's case, he has become a very, very powerful, important member of Congress with access to the nation's top secret. So it's a very important story just to understand how China is operating, and as you showed in that interview, right now in this country.
Right now in this country. And there have been connections made, according to the FBI, even video evidence of a couple of Midwestern mayors of cities. They haven't identified them, engaged in, how would you say, compromising positions with Christine Fain. They've got video of it. They don't claim to have any on Congressman Swalwell. They don't even make that claim at all at any point, just that he was in a relationship, be it business, friend, whatever. Swalwell hasn't denied knowing her, just said, you know, I never gave anything away, and that nothing was wrong whatsoever. Now Nancy Pelosi, of course, backing him up. But that's exactly what they were doing. They were going in and finding low-level politicians across the nation, befriending them, and it's probably going on even as I speak, befriending them and then gradually helping and watching them rise to a higher and higher position, either within city or county government, state government, and maybe even the federal government. And here we have Congressman Swalwell of California. Not only does he get into Congress, but he ends up on the Intel Committee. I mean, what more could a China spy be wanting to get? I mean, can you not imagine Christine Fain reporting to her overseers in China? I met this guy, I've been working with him, and now he's in Congress, and he's in the Intel Committee. Well, again, Congressman McCarthy, Republican of California, has some big questions about Swalwell even getting on the Intel Committee, staying on the committee, or even being still serving as a congressman.
This congressman now gets on the Intel Committee. They are only selected from the Intel Committee by the leaders of their party, meaning Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is one of the Gang of Eight, along with myself. Did Nancy Pelosi know this had transpired when she put him on the committee? We have our Senator, Dianne Feinstein, for 2 decades, the personal assistant that hear all the private phone calls in the car and others, a Chinese spy.
Do you remember that story? We covered it again somewhat yesterday. For all several years, her Dianne Feinstein's driver, our personal assistant, was right there listening to all of her phone calls, her conversations with folks either in her car or wherever else he was to be. Now, where do you think that information went? There's a story out from what is called the Rebel News Network in Canada. That's the source. Again, I'm not going to try to claim what I know is fact is something else. I'm going to always quote the source. They're reporting that Canada was planning to train China's military in cold weather tactics at a military base in Ontario. A Canadian official had attended an anniversary celebration for China's Navy in April 2019. And then they thought, well, you know, maybe we can work with China. We all can work together, right? Well, according to this source, once word got out this was going to happen, Trump apparently sent word to them, you need to cancel that. So it's canceled. They're not going to have it. But they were going to. They were going to bring Chinese soldiers just north of our border to do training. Stand by, please.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the Biden campaign did release details of a tax fraud investigation involving Hunter Biden, not Joe Biden, but Hunter Biden. Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, said the fact that they are releasing some details like that, those are probably the least damaging allegations against Hunter Biden. A Senate committee report apparently talks about Hunter's past dealings with Chinese nationals and some of them flagged for potential financial criminal activity. And Senator Cotton said, we need a special counsel appointed to continue the investigation after Joe Biden becomes president, if he does. And all of this apparently began in 2015 when Papa Joe was vice president. Senator Cotton says, the Biden family has been trading on Joe Biden's public office for 50 years. We think it's going to change if he becomes president. And regarding his son, Joe Biden said, I never talked to Hunter Biden about any of his business deals. And, of course, they don't want to talk about that laptop and the emails on it. But Senator Cotton said, you don't think at even one time he turned to Hunter and said, so what are you doing in China, son? And, of course, the mainstream media has been ignoring that, like they're trying to run away from the story of California Swalwell and any relationship with a former person identified as a Chinese spy. But the mainstream media now is beginning to give a little attention to the Hunter Biden story because, well, look at the date. The election, quote, is over, at least by the election date. Still being contested, but it's over, so now they start doing. All three major networks did address the controversy last night, clocking in roughly 1 minute, 16 seconds on CBS Evening News. World News Tonight, just 30 seconds on ABC. CNN anchor Jake Tapper even pointed it out that Hunter Biden is a subject target of a grand jury investigation. His colleagues Will Blitzer, Anderson Cooper also mentioned it. Anchors Burnett, Cuomo, and Lemon simply avoided it. And, of course, all this change has come after the Project Veritas unveiled that CNN President Jeff Zucker, in a meeting, a production meeting with his staff, told him, we're going to pass on the Hunter Biden, so we're not going to do it. Just let it go. Over at MSNBC, Rachel Maddow dedicated just 80 seconds of her hour-long program, but spent most of it claiming the tax investigation had nothing to do with a smear campaign involving Hunter's laptop, as related by the New York Post. Also on MSNBC, Nicole Wallace and Brian Williams briefly discussed it. Colleagues Joy Reid, Chris Hayes, Lawrence O'Donnell just skipped over the major developments. I know you're not surprised. Before we wrap up this hour, I want to go back over how the media has been treating a lot of things, and Fox is paying a price for how it's handled some stuff. Paying a, what could be a very big price. But that's coming up in our last segment. In the next segment, if you work at a restaurant, you own a restaurant, you're trying to open one, or you're trying to decide, can I get back to work? You'll want to hear what the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services has to say when it comes to outdoor dining in particular. We need something good. I think you're going to like this story. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDruryLaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The data are clear that, you know, outdoor dining with appropriate separation is not a risk factor. Same thing with outdoor bars with appropriate separation. I even went back to the CDC and said, has there been any outbreaks traced to outdoor dining with appropriate separation? They said, no, they don't have it. So this is one of those overreactions.
Now, the statement is coming from Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary for Health, Admiral Brett Groar, who said that outdoor dining with appropriate separation is not a risk factor. Same thing with outdoor bars, appropriate separation. Of course, many really want to resume as they had been inside. There's a report out of New York that came out the other day. Let me get this up for you. This is from a, let me see, who's quoting this? This is a part of Governor Cuomo's team in New York. I guess it was, story was released apparently yesterday. And according to them, indoor dining is the fastest growing source of COVID-19 spread in New York. So I guess they have been trying to allow some indoor dining, and now they're blaming it for the increase. Well, Admiral Garora is talking about outdoor dining in particular. But keep in mind, a lot of these restaurants, even for indoor, did a lot of things to set up mitigation efforts, paying money, that which they didn't really have, to to create these plexiglass shields, reducing the number of folks that were going to be allowed, closing tables so you wouldn't be sitting right next to each other. And, of course, we have in some areas, some counties. Let me see one that comes to mind. St. Louis County, deciding to shut them all down, close them up, even outdoor. The U.S., according to Johns Hopkins, just hit another record daily COVID-19 death toll yesterday. We've been averaging about 2,000 daily deaths in recent days, but apparently yesterday, recording 3,124 COVID deaths. That is if, and I'm going to tell you again, if you accept the number. Are they all COVID-related? Or are they just being blamed on COVID? I'm not in a position to challenge it. It's just that we've seen so much information come out, it gets extremely confusing, doesn't it? And we're going to deal with that a little bit later before we wrap up here with the Admiral, again, who is the Assistant Secretary for Health for Health and Human Services. One other thing, though, before we get a little bit deeper onto that part of the topic. We have these immunizations that are getting ready to roll out, vaccines. And the Admiral says that some of the vaccines, the early ones, you might need two jabs. You might have to have a vaccine administered twice. And here's his explanation.
The regimen is to get two shots, and we want everyone to get their two shots. Now, we do know that protection starts pretty early after the first shot, but it's not going to be likely not going to be as long-lasting. So the regimen that we have right now is two shots. The Janssen vaccine from Johnson & Johnson, which we would expect an EUA to be at least submitted for consideration in January, that's a one-shot vaccine. But nobody should wait. We don't know what the results of those are yet. It's not authorized. Pfizer and Moderna, two shots, highly effective, protecting all age groups.
All age groups. So that's the ones that are being rolled out immediately. And, of course, they're supposedly going to go to higher-risk areas, nursing homes, frontline healthcare workers, things of this nature. But when everything is rolled out, the Admiral is stating as well that various facilities, commercial enterprises across the nation will be carrying them, and you can go to them, such as a CVS or a Walgreens, to get the shot. You don't have to go to your doctor's office. But that's still time to come and decide how they're going to roll it out and what's going to come out when. What we're trying to deal with right now, though, is what do we know is fact, what is fiction, and how confusing can it be? We have so many people suffering right now because they have a business and the doors are basically shuttered. They got a chance to open, they had to shut them down again. They spent money to put in mitigation efforts, and then they were open, then they had to shut it down again. And then we're told you had to reduce the capacity. You had to reduce it again. And the employees trying to make a dollar and take care of their family, they're lost in the process. It is a massive ripple effect. We're not even talking about just restaurant owners and employees, but think about all those who service or have anything to do with a restaurant. Michael Levin, this is not Mark Levin, Michael Levin, professor emeritus of philosophy at City University of New York, publishing numerous documents and pieces. He wrote a piece that kind of raises some big questions. He said, we're having a big problem above and beyond the COVID with what's happening. He pointed out how Americans locked away in their homes due to COVID-19 are turning to alcohol or drugs in greater numbers than ever. One in three Americans engaging in binge drinking since it began. Binge drinking, taking as many as seven drinks in a single session. Researchers at the University of Texas Health Science Center did interviews with almost 2,000 Americans in the first month, and that's what they were finding. And Michael Levin points out, well, People are drinking too much too often. They've lost their jobs, their businesses, or fear they will. They're under stress. They're spending far more than usual with loved ones. Not everyone's marriage or relationship or family relationship is that solid to begin with. Finances upside down. Things are not going to turn around soon. The adults are suffering because their children are suffering. Depression, according to therapists with children, is off the charts. They're missing their classrooms, their sports, extracurricular activities, friends, their own routines. He believes that this total lockdown is going to cause us a lot more pain and hurt down the road. And I don't doubt that at all. We've discussed that numerous times. And on top of that, folks are just not sure, what do we believe? I mean, you just heard today, restated again by the Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary for Health, the Admiral Garrar, outdoor dining with appropriate separation is not a risk factor. He also said you can open the schools. That's not an issue. But he admits, he acknowledges in this interview on Fox News that the public is confused, and the reason it's confused is because of the information they've been given or not given, or the fear that they're sent or not sent. In other words, your communication of what's really happening is also taking a toll.
The science says you can keep the schools open, and the kids need that to be physically in school. In indoor dining and indoor bars crowded, yes, we have to limit that. The science does say this, but don't go crazy. I mean, outdoor dining, if you take away everyone's privileges, they're not going to believe anything you say, particularly if you're not science-based, and they're going to react to that. If you can't do anything, you're going to have a house party, and it's going to be even worse. So let's be reasonable. Follow the science.
Follow the science. And yet we still have many schools closed. In New York City, they just began to open up this week, K through K-3 or something like that. I don't recall, but the youngest of the kids, about 180,000 students, many of them special needs across New York City. That's out of a million students in that district. And they're supposedly we're opening more today at a different level. And we've shuttered the schools all this time. I've got three grandsons that have been caught in the midst of this. And they're pretty sharp kids. And they can learn via the Zoom efforts. But one of them flat out acknowledged that, yeah, it's easier to goof off. And also, if you have a pressing question, well, you in class you could go up and find out from the teacher right then. As it is, we had to kind of send in an email and wait, and maybe I get it back in time or I don't. In other words, the mere effort of trying to educate students is interrupted. And then you have teachers' unions that have been pushing to keep the schools closed. Or, as in the case of Chicago, the teachers' union saying, if you're even trying to open the schools, you're racist, you're xenophobic, you're misogynist. That was a statement from the Chicago Teachers Union. The kids are suffering. Adults are suffering. Our economy is suffering. And we'll look back later and say, you know, we really went too far, and then we didn't change fast enough. But by then, of course, it's a typical water under the bridge, horse out of the barn, whatever analogy you want to pull up. We'll take a break when we come back. Let's spend a little bit of time about how the mainstream media covers and conceals or gives you only what they want you to see. And somebody is getting ready to pay a very, very big price. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So let me share a piece written at Breitbart by, John Nolte. I think that's who wrote it. Let me just read the opening lines. The garbage pile that is Fox News just lost for the first time to Newsmax TV. It was only one metric during one day, during a single hour. What matters, though, is if you had predicted such a victory was possible, even 6 weeks ago, you would have felt the hot breath of laughter in your stupid face. Well, who's laughing now? LOL. They were talking about the other day and the 1 hour, as he said, the 25 to 54 demographics. Greg Kelly reports was on Newsmax, and it outrated the story with Martha McCallum on Fox. Kelly averaging 229,000 viewers in that demo, McCallum about 203,000. Narrow, but still, could it be a bellwether what's to come? I had told you that when I went down to Texas over Thanksgiving, my brother told me, I'm done with Fox. I might watch Tucker. I'm not really sold that much on Hannity anymore, but I'm done with it. I'm watching Newsmax. And I had a good friend call and tell me and say, Larry, take my plane and go to New York and tell them you need to be on Newsmax. You're the guy that should be anchoring their programs. I mean, so I'm hearing more and more people say Newsmax is going to be it. That's up to your choice. But the problem is that Fox News had already been, in the view of many, shifting away from Trump support and conservative views and general programming. It all goes back to Shepard Smith when he was on in the afternoons. But then, of course, on election night, when Fox News was very actively involved with their election survey results to call the election for Biden in Arizona, when there were still, I mean, just a minuscule number of votes in, and yet in Florida, it was clear that Trump had won dramatically, and they wouldn't call that till late in the evening. That upset a lot of people. But either one of them had been doing a better job in covering the Hunter Biden story, as we were pointing out earlier. And again, the mainstream media, this is what you got to keep in mind. You're never going to get the full fact, the full story, and you're always going to get it slant. You listen to this program, you're going to get a slant. You're going to get mine. But I'm always going to try to give you some balance with it, but I don't pretend that I'm going to be unbiased when you come here. When I was a news anchor in electronic television radio news for 50-plus years, no one knew my politics, nor should you. But at this point, that's what this program is about. But this Hunter Biden story, how it got pushed around and handled also by big tech, remember, Twitter and Facebook, not allowing the New York Post to put it up on their Facebook account, saying we're not going to help you spread a lie, it's not been checked out, and yet they were wall-to-wall coverage on allegations of a Russian collusion, which never was, and they didn't care that it wasn't fact-based. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, is on the Senate floor today saying, reference the Biden family financial dealings. He said, I think it's outrageous the Fourth Estate would choose to ignore facts when they are uncovered by Republicans. We showed our work, made our findings public, but the liberal media and Democrats chose to dismiss it. But, of course, it was only late yesterday that even the Biden people acknowledged that, yeah, there was. Hunter Biden was a target of an investigation involving tax affairs, according to Hunter Biden. But all three major networks yesterday did not spend much time on it. NBC Nightly News gave it a minute 16, CBS 45 seconds, ABC 30 seconds. CNN Jake Tapper reported it as it broke during the story. But his colleagues Wolf Blitzer, Anderson Cooper just mentioned it, and anchors Burnett, Cuomo, and Lemon simply avoided it. And those are just some of the examples. The other part of the story is, now that they, you see, any of these I just named, that they gave any attention to it, they were ignoring the Hunter Biden computer and email stories released by the Post earlier. They were absolutely ignoring it, weren't they? Well, let me figure out the dates. That was done before the election. Now we are after the election. So what? Now they've been given the green light. You can go ahead. It can't cause any damage. We don't think. MSNBC Rachel Maddow, as I said earlier, gave just 80 seconds of her hour-long program to the investigation of Hunter Biden. But then at the same time, tried to tie it to what they called the smear campaign launched by Republicans during the election, reporting from the New York Post about the Hunter Biden laptop. There are facts. There are obvious facts that exist. But if they don't fit the narrative of the left, you will never hear them. Never. Think you're living in China. Speaking of China, you do not want to miss the next hour about how China is infiltrating our nation. It's wake-up time. And also, the left claiming if there's any blood because of the election, it's on Trump's hands.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.